The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Hold on to your hats, because it's Marvelous, Magnificent, Mesmerizing, Motivational Monday as we put our hands to the plow of advancing the kingdom of God and never look back. First up, it's the challenge of a lifetime. In fact, it's the challenge of several lifetimes. And who better than our father of faith and friend, Abe, to show us the way. Next up, the other great friend in the Old Testament, King David, shows the ropes to walking in favor with the Most High, and it has to do with being shattered. Ouch. And finally, when it's all said and done, what do you think will really matter? Is it our legacy? Is it our bank account? Is it our brilliant ministry? The answer is, ding, ding, none of the above.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey. Hey. That's a nice high pitch. Hey. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? You can either call us 972-445-0770, or you can text us 214-210-8483, or you can find a squirrel and get the little nut from his mouth and put the little thing in the top of the nut where the little acorn thing is and then send it to the squirrel and send it over to us. Not a chance we're going to open that door for a squirrel. I'm just telling you up ahead of time. But here's the deal. It can be a prayer request. It can be praise report. It can be a pop question. We'll do our best to see if we can answer it. Plus, it also can be trivia, which seems to be a crowd favorite just because it's fun to keep everybody on their toes. Let's look at our first trivia question. Kind of a, not a trick question, but think it through before you answer. What is the name of the person in the Bible who received leprosy by sticking his hand inside his cloak? That's kind of a different way to approach it, isn't it? Yep, it is. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? That's because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. You know, we don't even get through the opening. We got people calling. I do like that, I got to say. And then I got so much to cover, you guys are just going to go, whoa. Okay, so that's the question. We got the caller responding. Once again, who put his hand in a cloak and received leprosy? That's the question. We got a caller? We do. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. How are you? How was your weekend?
It was great. How about yourself?
It was good. I got to hang out with the kids and the grandkids, and my son bought me pizza, which that's when you know you've arrived, when your own kid buys you pizza, right? That's the moment, right?
Absolutely.
That's the big thing. Okay, who was it who put their hand in their cloak and then, boom, leprosy?
Moses.
That is correct, sir! You are right. That is a good job. So some people you might think, oh, maybe it was Aaron, because between the two of them, there was a lot of really cool things that happened, but he's the only guy that did it and got it on purpose, which is like, wow, that's a really deep thought. Excellent way to start the show, and it's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're doing well, and we're going to continue to pray for you and that the Lord bless you and everything.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Please do. God bless. Right. Bless you also.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Ronnie, starting the show off good. Way to get it going. Way to roll. Way to roll. All right. So before we get into the teaching, let me tell you something that I did. I'm in my last week of my second Hebrew class. I'm in my Hebrew advanced class. As I told you, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't even want to tell you how much I did. It's not worth it. I don't want to just say. Let's just say that all I have left is one quiz. And so we're supposed to do these discussion things, and I started my discussion thing way early, and then other people started to respond. And I'm really bad. I'm a really bad boy when it comes to discussion because I will ask stupid questions on purpose to generate discussion. Those poor guys. I know my professor knows. It's just that the students don't know. And so I just... Typically, you'll get 2, 3, 4 responses. I've had today is the first day of assignment. There's already 2 sections that have 8 comments. I mean, people are just like, that's part of it. That's part of the fun. But I am in my last week. I've got a quiz that I'm doing today or tomorrow, and then I am actually going to get like almost a week off of school, which is like could not come at a better time in my life than like right now. It's like I need that week off, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But first, unless I forgot anything, let's get into the teaching. All right, so I want to talk to you about one of my favorite things because I use this on a pretty regular basis, and I want to talk to you about the highest call for a Christian. Now, there's a lot of things that we come up with and a lot of things that we say, and there are a lot of truths. Now, when I'm saying the highest call, I'm not talking about the highest of all, which is to give glory to God. I'm not talking about the highest of all from our end, which is to fellowship with God. I mean, those are the highest of all things. So there's nothing more. What I'm really talking about are characteristics, okay? And anytime you would say Christ-likeness, that would be correct. I mean, there's no way you can say it's wrong to say, you know, to be Christ-like is the highest call. That's right. But I'm really breaking this down into 2 very specific components on purpose so that you don't think it's happening accidentally. There are 2 things that I think that I've identified in a 43-year walk that really stand out to me. They're probably not the ultimate statements, but they're very important statements for growing up in the Lord. Okay? And as a sincere servant, and those of us who are sincere, trying our best, but recognizing, yeah, there's a lot of problems here, but I'm walking it through, I'm working it through. These 2 things I've identified, and I just want to talk about them, and I think you'll get a lot out of this. I'm certainly going to get a lot out of it just sharing with you, so I'm hoping you get the reciprocal as well. The 2 big things are being yielded and being broken. And we don't like to talk about the broken one, which we'll get into later, but this being yielded one is a massively important one. And this is the one that says in your own spirit, your own connection with God, it says, you know what? I want what you want. I want to be on your page, not on my page. No finer example than Abraham. Genesis 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham, said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Abraham pulls all this stuff together. It's like, wowzer. This is verse 4. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. Scripture puts this in there for a reason. Abraham looked at where he was going. He had his son Isaac. He was going to sacrifice his son. He had made the commitment, and he saw what was coming ahead of time, and he still kept moving towards the target. And there are times in your life where God will bring things into your life, and it's just really hard. But God has shown you what it looks like, where that place is, where that altar is, and you know what? You step towards it. Abraham saw what was going on, kept walking right to it. Verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Now in verse 9, it says he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Goes through the process, gets the knife in his hand, getting ready to slay him. Verse 12, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. He replied, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Just so you can understand in Scripture, when it says, now I know, it's now I've manifest, not now I've learned. And so the idea is for us to understand that the most important element in Abraham's life was Isaac, because Isaac represented the promises of God. Isaac represented the descendants from which God had chosen, not the fleshly descendants. Abraham had other children, but the promised descendant that would come from God. And what is it that God said to Abraham in Genesis 22? He said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. He said, I want you to take this very thing that you're passionate about that I promised you, and I want you to lay him on the altar. And the Lord requires that you and I be fully yielded. And when I say fully yielded, I don't mean kind of yielded. I mean fully yielded. That we would say to the Lord, there'll be no other gods, there'll be no other shrines in our lives. Just to make sure you understand your connection to Abraham, Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're a part of this lineage, and you're a part of this story because Abraham, the father of faith, is your father. And you belong to Abraham's seed. And what the Lord requires of you and I is nothing short than 100%. And you're thinking, I don't know. Well, let me explain this to you. Only God can get you there, and you need to ask him to help you get there. But every time you try and pull back, he's just going to pull you closer in. So the odds are that if you've got a shrine or a God in your life that's other than the Lord God, he's going to eradicate that out of your life, or you're going to spend your whole life going through this process of sacrificing whatever that other God is on the altar, even if it's the promises of God. Because what the Lord wants between you and him is nothing. We are to be fully yielded. No other shrines, no other gods, no other priorities. Jesus said, can't love me and have that kind of same love for your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children, nothing. In comparison, there's no comparison. Nothing between you and God. Career, husband, wife, family, nada. And that's not just a light chicken soup with gravy. Nada. Nothing in between you and God. That's what Abraham experienced. That's what you and I need to recognize as step one. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith. okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid.
Amazing grace.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com, a website where you can get free music. Most websites are free if you're visiting. Not if you're hosting. Anyway, livinginhisgrip.com under the HYMN, H-Y-M-N project. You are welcome to go there and get that info. Let's get into our next trivia question. We had Ronnie come in on the first one right away. I like that because he's just like, he's on it. And that's really kind of cool. Want to say hello to everybody. Hello. 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 That's an echo. What was the name of Mordecai's... Wait, let me do it with a Jewish thing. What was the name of Mordecai's cousin whom he brought up? Thank you. A little Italian, a little Jewish, a little all that. If you think you know the answer, 214-210-8483. In the meantime, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now we got somebody calling. Don't forget, by the way, to go to hemustincrease.org. I have a bunch of different things on there, which I just, you know, add stuff and just have fun with it and don't get all serious on it. Just enjoy yourself and smile and laugh and stuff like that. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
All right. So that's nothing wrong with that.
After this
I like it with you. One time we're going to give you an opportunity to go 4 for 4. Okay? Okay. So one, not today, because we haven't said that yet, but one time we're going to do 4 trivia questions. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to tell you ahead of time. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight, and then you can have a chance to go 4 for 4 and hit a grand slam. Okay? All right. You get ready for that. All right. So what was the name? Let me do the voice, though. What was the name of Mordecai's cousin whom he brought up?
Esther.
That is correct, sir. Good job there. Do you remember her other name? She had two names. In other words, one of them was Esther, but there was a secondary name. By any chance, do you remember that?
Ooh, you know, that's sad because I just read the whole book last week.
All right. The other name is Hadassah. Hadassah. Esther.
Yeah, Hadassah.
That's right. So good job, though. Ooh. Excellent, my brother. And then we have people texting and getting the right answer. That's good. You guys did great. Great way to go.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. See?
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He just read it last week. How good was that, right? That's perfect timing. All right. I got this. This is the funniest thing. If you guys don't laugh at this, I can never help you. You can't get the buzzer ready on this. This is rather humorous. If you understand the passage, you will get the joke. 1 Timothy 3:15 says The Church of the Living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Now, there's nothing funny about that. That's the Church of the Living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. You're looking for the pillar. Now, what's a pillar do? It supports things. It's strong. It keeps things up. It's sturdy. It's secure. Foundation is what you put everything on, right? The Church of the Living God. What is it? The Church of the Living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Okay, watch. You'll never hear me do this again. I want to give acknowledgement to the New York Times. This is the only time you're ever going to hear this. Because the New York Times has a new campaign. And that new campaign, by the way, that new campaign is, ready? Truth is essential. Truth is essential. Okay? That's their campaign. Here's why this is funny. Because the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth, and the New York Times is saying the truth is essential, so finally the New York Times is saying church is essential. Finally, after all this time, because the truth is essential, and then the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth, and then they're saying truth is essential, so now we know that even they think truth is essential. The church, therefore, is essential. You're like, come on, that's a good one. They saw that campaign. I was like, that is the dumbest, you know, only they would come up with that. All right, do we have somebody on the line? Nope. Okay. All right. All right. So I just thought that was kind of cool. It's one of those things where I think it's really cool. All right.
Yes. A lady just called and said she had an idea for you. She wanted to see if you could do like a teaching on a Jewish word every day.
You know, I thought about switching it to Yiddish to the Jewish word. And that's really a good idea, and I am going to do that. I am. I'm going to move it out of the Yiddish. I'm going to move it into a Hebrew word. And I'm actually going to pull it from some of my classes, which I thought was kind of a cool, because you should say, I had to do 150 vocabulary words in the last like 7 weeks. And you had to memorize and this and that, whatever. And even though I took Hebrew long ago, my brain only it only holds a little. Folks, you just don't understand. So it was a real challenge. I'm going to do that. So whoever that was who called, excellent idea. And I was already thinking that, so I kind of feel like that's a confirmation. Good job. All right. We still have to do a website, or did we do a website? We haven't done it yet? We did it. Okay. I don't even know. Where am I?
It's Monday.
Is it Monday? That must explain so much of it. All right. Good job on Roddy, by the way, and everybody else who texted in on that. All right. Let me just I'm not going to really spend a lot of time on this because of where the next segment goes. But here's the other part about it. Remember, I just talked about being yielded. Super important. Well, here's the other thing that people cannot stand, which is equally important, and that is to be broken. Yielded and broken. Nobody likes that. Come on. No, broken. Who wants to do that, right? That's the broken. Okay, Psalm 31:12. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. You know what broken pottery is? Broken pottery is you have a piece of pottery in your hand. Now listen, and you drop it. What happens if you take a piece of pottery and you drop it on the floor? What happens? It shatters. It's all these broken pieces. If you think for 1 second that the Lord doesn't put you through that seminar, you're nuts. He does that. Not only does he do that, but let's just use the passages that he uses to illustrate that. Romans 9:20-21. But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? In other words, God's in charge of the creation process, and if he molds you and then decides, we're going to have to rearrange this, and decides to drop you and break you in pieces, that's life. That's life. Because here's the deal. The deal is when you are moldable, then he makes you like the way he wants you. You see what I'm saying? Listen to this passage. Under those two things I just said, listen to this passage with that newness of thought. Luke 20:18. Everyone who falls on that stone, referring to Christ, will be broken to pieces. And on anyone on whom it falls, they will be crushed. There's two kinds of people. You're either going to be crushed by the stone or you're going to fall on the stone. But if you're a believer like I am and you fall on the stone, maybe a little bit of brokenness where God brings you to a place where he breaks you. And you think, but that just seems so unfair. Well, first of all, you're not allowed to talk back to God that way because you're a human and you're lucky you're breathing. Second, God does breaky stuff all the time. Look at what he did to King David. He beat the King Saul out of him before David became king so he'd be a better king. It's like, wait, what was that? See, there's two seminaries to reach this highest call with the Lord, and that's being yielded, having no other gods before you, and being broken, which is moldable. And what David went through was the school of brokenness. So that when he became the king, he wouldn't do it poorly like Saul did it. And when God puts you through all these different things and you're like, I don't get it. It's like, I understand. But you're in seminary, real seminary. I mean, I've been in multiple seminaries. No. God's broken plan, that's seminary. When God rearranges a situation where the pieces are on the ground and only he can put it all back together with his healing oil and the anointing of the Spirit, that's real seminary. And God does that to all of us who really love him. Why? Because remember, this is about him making you reflect Jesus. And sometimes we get so set in our ways that the only way to change us is to break us. You think, but that just seems like such a drag. But that's where you have trust in God. Like Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, you have confidence that what God is building in you and through you and by you and to you and around you has purpose. And so there's no, I don't want you to, this doesn't sound like very uplifting. It doesn't sound like, very prosper message. Oh, well, I can't help you. You said you wanted to be like Jesus, right? Okay. There you go. God said, okay. You might have just said, I want to be like Jesus, but only for a week. But you didn't say that, did you? No, you didn't. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Oh, my. But on anybody on whom that stone falls, they will be crushed, which is, that's no good. That's like eternal pounding into the grounding. That's terrible. Let the Lord rearrange your life and be molded. Now, here's the coolest part. We're about to enter into what being yielded and being broken does for us. And it is phenomenal when we get there. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-aged line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
My you got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We got history and so on, so I want to get to that. But I do want to say, I did find out something on, before we get to our trivia, I found out something on Saturday. Saturday, have you ever hit the wall? Do you know what that is, where you hit the wall, where you just get to the point where you're like going, bleh.
Yes, I thought you meant like literally. I was going to say yes on that too.
So you have hit the wall both literally and figuratively.
Yep.
Okay. They're both hard, aren't they?
Very.
The wall is hard.
Yeah.
All right. I had that happen on Sunday, so I was done. Just spent hours and hours and hours and hours, and then I went to the gym, and I spent about 7 minutes in the gym, and it wasn't even the physical. I was just exhausted. I was just like, ah. So I've decided that I'm going to ask the audience to be praying for me for a little bit of rejuvenation. Even though I'm getting this time off in between two classes, I just don't want to fry to the point where I can't do stuff. And I just kind of felt that way on Saturday for the first time in a long time, like maybe in 4 years or 5 years. And I just like, boom, the wall. Now, at first I thought it was my wonderful diet. I don't think I consumed enough sugar, but then then I realized that's my regular diet anyway. So that's really not it. So I do want people to be praying for me. Okay, I'm going to ask you to, I pray for you, you pray for me. This is kind of how we support one another and love one another. But that was a real weird, I was like, what is going on? So I went on from the treadmill to the elliptical and went really low, like one on the elliptical, which you could just stand there. That's what I
stand there and just make it seem like you're
working.
Yeah,
make it like I'm sleeping. And I was already schwitzing, which is for those that don't know, that's Yiddish for sweating. And so nobody would have known. But I decided I was going to keep praying. So that was my big thing. All right. Trivia question. Here we go. Trivia question. What is our trivia question? Oh, okay. What is the name of the tree? What is the name of the tree that stands on both sides of the river of the water of life? In the book of Revelation, what is the name of the tree that stands on both sides of the river of the water of life in the book of Revelation? That's a pretty good question. Not too shabby. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so we do want to do history, so I do have a couple of interesting history things, because two things on this just make me drool. So let's go ahead and play history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, for those that don't know, it's Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus' expedition made landfall in the Caribbean. And the, how you remember that, if you don't remember from school, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I mean, that's how you're, you know. And then the rest of it you write in your hand and put in your pocket when you come into school. Okay, don't act like nobody ever did anything. Come on. But here's the real important thing about today. It's Pulled Pork Day.
Yummy.
Come on. Come on. That is just, you didn't give me a lot of stuff. I don't care what they come up with. It's Pulled Pork Day. Okay? I mean, now you're talking, now you're getting serious. Between chocolate chip cookies and pulled pork, you're just like, oh, this is trouble. Chris, that could be why I'm burning out. Who knows? It's National Gumbo Day, but I've never been a
yummy.
You like gumbo? Big fan? Really?
I love gumbo.
What's the deal on gumbo? Why is it good? What is it about it? Is it, I didn't grow up with it.
Honestly, it's the roux that comes in it. Like, if you get a good base, then everything else comes together. And then it's, you know, big on seafood. And then, you know, sometimes you can put chicken and sausage, add a little okra. It's great. Like, it's really great.
Okay. So you've challenged me because I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with, here's a corned beef sandwich, you know, kind of thing. So it's a lot different. I'm going to have to backtrack.
You got
to
try it.
I got to figure that out. All right. That's my responsibility. For those that don't know, by the way, in 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance is first recited by students in the United States schools. In spite of everything that everybody says about the Pledge of Allegiance, it's been around for 128 years. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Here's the one that I thought was the classic of all. There's a sad one and a good one. The sad one, John Denver died on this day in 1997. For those that don't know, he had songs like Thank God I'm a Country Boy, and also he wrote Leaving on a Jet Plane. So that's an old song, you know, that the mamas and papas, leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. It's an old famous song. He wrote that. A lot of people are just not aware of that. He also wrote Rocky Mountain High, just in case, you know, just in case people don't know that. But here's the one thing. I always have the one little thing, and this is the big thing for me. In 1901, on this day, so 119 years ago, the first non-religious record was recorded. Okay, this is just the weird. Who would know this trivia? Do you know what the song was? Three Blind Mice.
which is like,
what? Now, for those that don't know and have not heard this show, I have a problem with Three Blind Mice. Three Blind Mice. Three Blind Mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife who went after them with a butcher's knife. These are a lot of messed up people. You got messed up mice, messed up woman, and how are they running after her when they're blind? None of this makes sense. That's the first song that was recorded that was not religious. That is not the best testimony for humanity, but... And then she's going after them with a butcher's knife. I'm just...
It's a strange song.
It's a strange group of people. All right, we will get to, that's right, I have fun too. We'll get to this. We've been talking about being broken. We're talking about being yielded. Being yielded, being broken. Being broken, being yielded. Okay? We do have somebody calling in. We do have answers on the text, but I'm waiting. I always wait, and then I give you the answer at the end. So the people that guessed in on a text, they were all correct. Do we have somebody calling in? All right. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Dan.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to hear your voice. Okay, this is a classic kind of question. People miss this quite a bit, but it's straightforward. There is a wonderful tree that we're going to be engaging with on both sides of the river of the water of life in the book of Revelation. What is that?
The tree of life.
That is correct, sir! That is correct. Excellent job. Now, did you look it up, or did you just kind of know, nope, I know that's the tree of life?
I had read that here about a week or so ago, I believe.
So about a week or so ago, you just had gone through that?
Yeah.
That's like trivia, making you think about what you learned.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Excellent job. Thank you, sir. Excellent, excellent work.
All righty.
All right, God bless. You. Okay, bye-bye. Woohoo! I'm telling you, man, I came in, bam, there you go. But we're just, you know, we're just killing it today. All right, so I want to say this real quick because I only have like 3.5 minutes, so I want to get this done. So here's the deal. The deal is you heard me talking about being yielded. You heard me talking about being broken. The reason that those two things are critical is because of this passage.
Ready? Get ready. Get ready. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised, this is Philippians 3, 4 through 9. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. The reason that being broken and being yielded is so important is so that you and I can step in to this Philippians 3, 4 through 9 text where Paul lists all of his religious accomplishments and he said it doesn't mean a thing. It's nothing. It's absolutely rubbish. And that's actually not the Greek word and we won't talk about that right now. But what he says is simply this: I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There is nothing in our entire Christian existence that is more important or priority than knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And being broken and being yielded enable us to embrace that more and more. It's not that you know him and then in that one moment you have all encompassing knowledge. It is a continual growth in that knowledge to know him more and more and more. And everything else we say, do, and think has absolutely no value compared to the value of knowing Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you need to ask him into your heart right now. If you know Jesus, you need to ask him to be more in your life right now. You don't have to make a big ceremony on it. Just say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me my sins. And I ask you to become a part of my life and that I would surrender to you everything. And if you're already there, which most of you are, you should say on a regular basis, more of you, Jesus, in my life. And less of me. Because that's what being yielded and being broken produce. They produce the understanding that everything else is rubbish. All the brilliance, all this, all that stuff, baloney. Knowing Jesus Christ is the most important thing, and continuing to grow in that is the most important step after knowing. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the guilt, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I'm going to give you the absolute best 60-second synopsis to yesterday's experience that you have never heard before from anywhere, from anybody, in regards to everybody in the debate. You've never heard this before. So getting ready? Okay. First, let me give you the scripture that goes with everything. If you've never read the New English Translation, which is called the NET Bible, here's what it says in Psalm 62, verse 9. Men are nothing but a mere breath. Human beings are unreliable. When they are weighed in on the scales, all of them together are lighter than air. Okay, that's how we're starting. So I guess you know where I'm going from there, especially the line, human beings are unreliable. It's like, you. I know a lot of you are absolutely fantastic, wonderful people, but there's a lot of unreliability in sinful human beings. That would be everybody on the planet. First, let me make these five very quick observations. If you disagree, you're entitled. I bless you in that. I reward you in that, but you're going to have your own take on it. Number one, whatever happened last night didn't change anything. There's nothing. There's not one thing that's different. And then the irony is none of this surprises God. You've got, what, 5 weeks to an election? Isaiah 46:10 says it's straightforward. God knows the end from the beginning. None of this is catching God by surprise, just you and I. Number two, if you were a Democratic Biden fan, you still are. If you were a Republican Trump fan, you still are. And nothing changed. There was no difference. Number three, who was the real winner from last night? Fox News ad revenues. Fox News ad revenues, more ad revenues than they've ever received before. It's like, who won? The media won. Of course the media won. Who did you think was going to win? And I would say there was only one significant loser in the process. I'm not going to go into it too far, but I think the big loser of the night was probably Chris Wallace, just because he proved he wasn't his dad. So, ouch, Dave. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm such a nice guy. Oh, sorry. Hey, you know, I call him as a name. I think T would testify. I think everybody would testify in the building. You don't have to agree with me. I have a take. Two Jews, three opinions. I said that to somebody. They go, I don't get it. It's like, okay. I don't know if I can help. All right. So I got somebody else calling. Is that somebody else calling? Want to check that in? All right. Trivia question. I got to find my trivia question. All right. Trivia question. This is a pretty good one. This is a thought-provoking one. See if you can do this without, certainly don't Google it, but see if you can do this one without, you know, going too deep into the process of, you know, looking it up. Try and nail this one down if you can. Jesus said he could call on his Father for how many legions of angels? Remember what he said? I can call on, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but how many legions of angels could Jesus have called on? Okay, that's going to be that right there. All right, anything there? Pizza? Nothing? Okay. Don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. Just check it out. Go to hemustincrease.org. I actually sent a link to my professor, whose class I'm just finishing. They don't typically like to look at stuff like that. I'm just telling you, that's just how it goes. I have figured out that there's this large gulf between ministry, church, and academia in all these different things. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I think that, you know, we should all be supporting one another. That's kind of my mindset. So my idea there would be, if you've got other shows that you listen to, keep listening. Don't ever stop listening. If you have other stations you listen to them. You should be doing whatever it is that can help you grow in the Lord. Why would that not be the answer? That would always be the answer. It should always be the answer, just in case you're wondering. Okay? All right. So we're talking about the highest call. We're talking about being yielded.
talked about being broken. Did I forget anything? We're still on target. We talked about Philippians, which is one of the most important, I think is the most important text for me, is that Philippians 3:8. Just, you know, that's just legendary. I think I have that even on my Facebook scripture underneath it, Philippians 3:8-9. But I did want to mention this, these other two elements real quickly. There is this huge difference, for those that do not know, between knowing God and knowing of God. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that, but there are a lot of people that will say, well, you know, I know of God. But it's like, okay, that is substantially different than knowing God. So we just mentioned, just talked about what Paul said. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, not knowing of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I know a lot of people that know about God. Unfortunately, they don't know God from a hole in a bag, which is like, that's sad, right? And so James 2:19 says, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. It's like they don't know anything different than the demons know. The demons know that there is a God. They don't know God. They just know of God. And James goes, so? In a nice way, I suppose. So? And it's like the idea is to understand that in our faith, in our walk, that there is a substantial difference between knowing of God and knowing God. Now, in many areas, we know what God has to say, and that is important in regards to knowing his truth. But I'm talking about the relationship element. And for those that are unaware that the relationship is the key, just reread Philippians 3:8-9. And you'll find out that knowing Jesus in the epigenosa, know by experience way, is the most important thing, more important than everything else is garbage compared to it. And that's a substantial statement of Scripture. You understand? Now you might even say, but Dave, come on, knowing Jesus, are you trying to say that knowing Jesus is more important than feeding the poor? Yes. Wait, I'm really going to rain on the parades. How much time do I got? Are you saying that knowing Jesus is more important than feeding the poor? Yes. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I don't have to. All I got to do is read what he said. Are you saying that knowing Jesus Christ is more important than church? Yes. Are you saying knowing Jesus Christ is more important than any of those things? Yes. Where do you get that from? Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work? Wow. Don't you care about that? And that I have to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. You know that didn't go well. Like, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What did she do? She sat at Jesus' feet. Well, what was Martha doing? Serving. You can tell me everything you want to say. What was it Martha was doing? She was doing the preparation, she was doing the work, she's getting everything coordinated. She's serving. And Martha's like, hey, tell Mary, she got to help me. And Jesus said, no, she's picked the better thing. I'm not taking that from her. And you think, well, no, that you can't say that. Yes, exactly what you should say, because all the stuff that we come up with, you have to remember what's going to happen. What's going to happen, even if you're a person who believes in the thousand-year reign, you can come up with all the different elements that connect to that. But after the thousand-year reign, for eternity, we're going to be hanging out with God. And that's the ticket. You see, that's the big thing. I think why people get excited basically about the rapture is because that's when you start to be with Christ in a whole new way, and then there's no departure from that moment on. And that's why people get excited about it. Nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic.
That's wonderful. But the understanding is that spending time with Jesus is the highest element there is. So being yielded and being broken lead us into a place where knowing him is the epitome or the zenith, the pinnacle of all things. And that is so important that without right relationship, there's no right ministry. And so when people do the work of Christ without being connected with Christ, they either become religious, stuffy, full of pride, or jerks, whichever it is. I don't know. And so my whole point, my whole premise is, look what he said. I mean, in Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. How can that be possible, Dave? Because there's more of Christ in the person's life. And that's what it's all about. And people are like, are you trying to tell me that time with Jesus is more important than ministry? Yes. Because before Jesus was a model on how to live, and he was, before that, he was first the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world for those that believe. So before Jesus is a model, he's the sacrifice. And you have to understand that. Or anything else you do will come out of a wrong spirit. And most of us can tell when anybody claims to do something in the name of the Lord, how full of baloney they are when you're looking at them going, not a chance. I had one person who did this film. He was a producer of a film. And I asked him, he did a film for Focus on the Family. And he's, I think he was like 32. So that's pretty young to be a producer. And he said, well, what's the one thing about church that you pick up on that you know, he goes, I can spot a phony a bazillion miles away. He goes, I go into church, I can tell. He goes, it takes me about a minute. And it's like, look, if people are not grounded in Jesus and they're doing stuff, remember what Jesus said? You'll say, I did this in your name and this in your name and this in your name. And what did Jesus say? He said, I will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. That's why it's important. Not a legalism thing. It's a relationship thing. And from a right relationship begets right ministry, which is why when Jesus was baptized, the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Because they were connected. That's our example. Oh, I could do this for hours, but I'm out of time. All right. Jesus said he could call on his Father for how many legions of angels? More than 12. Matthew 26, 53. More than 12. Ooh, good one. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running. Run.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.